Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time for Crystal Clear Coaching with Maggie Holbert. Join Maggie every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern, for an hour of positive reinforcement on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Maggie.
Hello, everyone, and good afternoon or good morning, depending on where you are. I know my guest today, for her it's morning, but for me it's the crack of noon. So welcome to the show, Crystal Clear Coaching with Maggie Holbeck. It's my pleasure to be here today and to have you listening in, whether it's today or later on our recorded show. You are here at GGM Radio, blog talk radio/GGM Radio. And it's been 2 weeks since we've had the show. I had a little mini vacation for my birthday, and it was quite lovely. We took a little getaway and just relaxed, went to Duluth, Minnesota for just the family and to relax and have some downtime. And it was very, very lovely. And it reminds me of the book that we're going to be talking about today, which is the No Regret Bucket List by Marion Witte. And she'll talk about some of the things in the book, but it to me, it's about living, and that's what she really gets across, our bucket list for living. So having things like mini vacations and self-care and all of these things are part of my living bucket list. So Marion Witte is our guest today. She's an author, a publisher, a chartered accountant. She's also the founder of the Wise Women Collection, Courage of the Soul, No Regrets Bucket List, and Little Mad House on the Prairie, which is her true life story about overcoming abuse and healing. One of the things that I noticed that Marion also works with Girls, Inc. In the public school system to develop a self-esteem empowerment program for them, and I thought that was pretty awesome. So maybe she'll share with that a little bit later. So she sounds like an amazing woman. I'm honored to have her on the show. I've never spoken in person with Marion before. Marion, are you there?
I'm here, Maggie. Thank you so much.
Yes, welcome. So, Marion, I hear you just got back from a vacation. Is that correct?
Yes, I took the advice in my book and decided to do one of the things I've been wanting to do. And so my daughter and I went on a vacation to Canada and to Alaska, and it was absolutely incredible. So, yes, we had a wonderful time.
Was that your first time to Canada?
I'd been to Canada before on business a couple of times. It was first time for pleasure, so it's absolutely stunningly beautiful.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, that's awesome to hear that you had a great time. I know you mentioned earlier that it went really quickly, so that's always a sign that we're enjoying ourselves. So, Marion, tell us a little bit. Is there anything you want to tell us about your background before we, you know, sort of get into a little bit more about the book?
Well, I've had as a lot of people have, a very interesting life. I was raised on the prairies of North Dakota and came out of a very dysfunctional family of alcoholism and abuse. And so having gone through that as a foundation, then I spent a great deal of my adult life in recovery from that. But in spite of all of that, I've had a very successful life, a business person, and I'm a CPA and practiced for many years. Excuse me. It's my vacation. I'm just getting my non-vacation voice back here. But towards the end of my career, something just kind of hit me, and I decided it was time to do something other than stay in the business world. So I sold my business, and I wrote my first book, which was my memoir about my life, Little Madhouse on the Prairie. And then after that, when I got one book under my belt, then I proceeded to do two more, and the latest one, which was the No Regrets Bucket List. And that one actually transpired because of a life-threatening illness that I had last fall. And while I was in the hospital recuperating, it gave me a lot of time to think about my life and what had happened and, where I was. And it brought my mortality into, reality. So I thought about whether I had lived the kind of life that I wanted to and whether I was going to leave the legacy that I wanted to. So it wasn't about what I had acquired or what I had done, but it was about had I become who I wanted to be. And so out of that came the no regrets bucket list. So my lifespan, as is most people's, is a journey through different paths, getting to wherever it is we're, you know, supposed to be. So that's where I am at this point in my life.
Mm-hmm. Now, I love, when I work with coaching clients, I often work with the top five regrets of the dying, sort of looking at our life from the end so that we can see what we really want while we're in it. So I love your example of, you know, being in the hospital. And I think those are really gifts for us when we get those little moments in time, whatever the experience, we may not think they're pleasant at the time, but they really can be the launching pad to looking at what we really want. And I want to ask you, Marion, your first book, you know, of your life story, was that a book that was more, you know, did you get some therapy from that? Was it more of a release writing that, where maybe the last one being more a look at your life and fine-tuning what you want? How would you describe that?
Yeah, I think you've, you know, captured the essence. The book was, you know, in many ways, I think my intention in it was to have it be part of my healing process and to be therapeutic, and it was at a very, very deep level. Interestingly, what's happened with it, because I had no idea of the magnitude of the people that have the similar type of backgrounds, no matter what it is, I've been amazed at how many people have connected with it to help them also. So I started out thinking that it wasn't intended to be a tell-all at all. It was intended to be a story of, you know, overcoming and triumph. But at the end of the day, I think its prime purpose was to help me, you know, heal at some very deep level. Then the other books that I've written have been more, okay, now that we've gone through that and peeled off that layer of the onion, then it was a desire to share some of the things that I've learned through my process in hopes that, you know, there'll be some nugget of information for someone else.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I ask that question is, you know, so many of us, and people listening, I'm sure, you know, have this desire to write a book. It seems to be this, you know, welling up inside of many people for various reasons. And I really wanted you to share that, because it can be therapy. It can be to clarify your life. There's many reasons that books come through us. And the wonderful gift is not only does it help us as it helped you, but we can help the world. And I really, really believe, Marion, that the more transparent we come in our consciousness, in our sharing of ourselves, the more that we're supporting and helping each other, because we are all one. And when we realize we all have similar journeys and are interwoven, it can really free us. So that's a great example of how that can work.
I agree. I think that sometimes, you know, we all have whatever our experiences are, whatever we, you know, came here to experience, to grow, we have this common bond of that. They're different for all of us, and some are more drama, some are less drama. It's whatever we need individually. Sometimes I know for myself, I thought I was alone. I thought my experiences were so unique and so, you know, so hidden and so secretive and so shameful that I really never, until much later in life, didn't talk about them. What's happened now is as I start to freely talk in a very open way, I discover that, you know, people, everyone has something. So whether it's a book to write or a story to tell or verbalization or music, whatever that outlet is, it helps to let people know that they're not alone. We're all on this journey together, and it's very freeing. So yes, books have, I think some famous person said that everyone has a book inside of us, and that's true, because we all have a, you know, lifelong, you know, journey. So books serve a variety of purposes, and for many people, I think it's just having your life be, you know, put down on paper that you were here, you existed, you had these experiences, and then the offshoot of that can be that it's, you know, very helpful to other people in ways that you don't know, and I believe we'll probably never know. So it's putting the gift out there and letting it do its work.
And yes, and the people who are meant for that book will find it. It'll happen upon them. You know what? One of the things I was thinking of when you were talking is I like to use the term campfire stories. You know, when we start sharing stories, whether it's of hardships or experiences that we've gone through or maybe spiritual experiences, sometimes people share, you know, what we call woo-woo stuff. And you'll find that everybody opens up once you open up and will share something so that we really do see that we have these similar experiences and know that we're not alone. And I that's why I like to call them campfire stories, because I find it, I've observed it over the years where that's what happens. If someone is strong enough and has the courage to share, then it opens the pathway for everyone else, and then the stories go right around the campfire type thing. So that's pretty cool. Now, Marian, tell us a little bit about, let's get into the No Regrets Bucket List. This is, I think, the title is awesome. It's something we can all relate to, but I think it's a little more than what we typically think about the bucket list from the movie that we've, you know, most of us have seen or heard of. So tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, my concept or the idea that, you know, kind of came through as I was lying in my hospital bed was, you know, I think it's wonderful to have the more traditional bucket list, like you saw in the movie, where the two gentlemen had a list of things that they wanted to do before they, you know, kicked the bucket. That was the essence of that story. And I think that we all have those kind of checkout bucket lists, whether we want to have this kind of relationship or this kind of job or, you know, whatever our, you know, goals are in life. I think that those are extremely important. And there's a bucket list or a checklist or to-do list, whatever, you know, a person calls that, to have in life. My thought as I was contemplating, you know, my own life is, what about a bucket list for who we want to be? You know, who do we want to be remembered as when we're not here anymore? All we are is a memory. You know, people aren't going to remember how much money you had or what kind of car you drove. They just don't. It's not what, when people give eulogies and memorials, that's not what they talk about. They talk about who you were as a person and how you impacted their life. So that's what we leave. We leave our ongoing, you know, energy in the form of memories. So for me, it was like, okay, what kind of memories do I want people to have of me? And have I gotten to that point today? And for me, it was in many ways a resounding no. So it was good. It was one of those huge aha moments where I realized that there were things that I had to do. And I thought, well, if I'm in this situation, then there's probably a lot of other folks walking around too. So I thought about the, you know, many different ways that we, you know, create our legacy, and the many kinds of people that there are, and so for me, I know individually what I want to do, and I tried to think about just a range of ideas to give people. So this isn't a book on, you know, how to do it. These are ideas and concepts to think about and to walk away going, yeah, I think I'd like to pay a little more attention to this area of my life. So it's a self-help book to an extent, but it does not purport to tell anyone how to live a life of no regrets, but it's asking people to at least entertain the idea and then to pursue whatever they need to do to accomplish that. And there's many, many ways to, as you know, on the path to get to where you need to be. So it's a primer in a way, and it's just putting into hopefully a concise form a lot of different things to ideas for people to contemplate.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I took it. They were inspirations or ideas of things that, you know, could ignite in me and remind me of what it is that gives me purpose. One of the things that I love doing these shows, Marian, because I learn so many gems that I can use with my coaching clients and in my workshops and my talks. And one of the things that you just inspired me that I will be using in the future is when you were talking about eulogies and memorials, how we don't talk about the car people drove or what they did. It's how they moved us or what, you know, what we remember about them, the inspirations. And one of the things that we often talk about when we talk about the person who's passed on is what they loved. You know, you'll see in the write-up in the obituaries, you know, they loved spending time at their cottage. They loved gardening. They loved. And I think if people now, then this is what your book helps with, could really find out what they love And, you know, and again, going to that end to try and figure that out, it would be so simple. We all really know what we love. We just, you know, tend to get so caught up in the ongoing process in the of our life and the day-to-day activities that sometimes those get buried. So, you know, that that just flashed right out at me when you were talking about that. And obviously, for you, now writing books has become a great love for you. And I really encourage everyone that's listening on the call, we all do have a book in us, and it, do not have a fear if you have one, that, you know, just start writing. I know I talk to so many people that you know, they struggle with that, and it's, and I'm sure, Marion, you'd agree that once you turn on the tap, it flows pretty quickly.
Yes, you know, when people will contact me and say, oh, I really, you know, I want to write a book, I have this and this, you know, what do I do? What's the magic? And I say, you know, for me, there's just one thing, just start writing. You just start writing, and, you know, not with the idea that you're going to be a famous author, that you're going to have, you know, the next, you know, great novel, but you get the words out on paper. That's really the book. It's just getting those thoughts, ideas, feelings, and just let it get onto the computer, onto paper, whatever you're, you know, however you do that, and it will just keep flowing. Don't worry about the format or how it reads. That's a separate process. So that's what I say to people. If you want to write a book, that there's just one thing you have to do. You have to start writing. It's simple and it's very hard because it's discipline also.
Mm-hmm. I look at it like turning on the tap, but really the book's just coming through us. Whether we're doing a painting or we're doing art, we're just the conduit. It's coming through us. But we tend to keep the tap closed. So
yes.
Writing, start writing, open up the tap. And by the way, for any of our listeners, if you'd like to call in, we will have questions toward the end of the show for Marion or myself. And the call-in number is 347-237-5339. So feel free to you know, call in and ask any question, whether it's about writing a book or anything from Marion's bucket list book or any questions for Marion at all. And Marion, I'm just going to give some contact info out for you. So your website is Marion Witte, MarionWitte.com, correct?
Correct.
And then you have the Wise Women Collection. So it's just, you know, www.wisewomencollection.com. So they can learn more about you and your collection there. That's awesome. Now, Marion, tell us a little bit, you know, what did you personally learn while writing this particular book, The No Regrets Bucket List?
Well, I learned a lot of things. I think one of the major things for me was a re-kind of shifting or refocusing on what really is important, at least in my life. And I think that, as you said, we, you know, we get caught up in life, we get caught up in doing, we get caught up in acquiring, all the things that you do in life, which are wonderful. It makes, you know, life, you know, joyful and fruitful, and I'm not negating any of that. But I found that the sustaining pleasure isn't in those things. It's in the people that you somehow impact or that you touch or whatever it is you came here to do, in some way impacting and changing the world in a better way. So for me, coming out of a, you know, strong work ethic and a, you know, high-powered business world, that's a total refocus to understand that just going down to the post office and being nice to the postal clerk who is having people yelling at him all the day, being the person that goes in and smiles and you know, says something kind can be as important as building a company. And that may sound odd to people, but for me, as I sat back and looked, it was like, wow, everything that we do to change the world in a better way is important, and there's no qualitative aspect to it. Being a great mother is probably, you know, brings more change to the world than being a great politician. And I'm not, you know, saying one is better or other, but we have to understand that we all can impact the world in large ways by doing simple things. I think for me, as I wrote the book and started to pull this together, it was about, Marion, simplify your life. Bring it back home. Bring it, you know, bring it into your heart and your spirit, because that's where the real change would come. I'm a person that, you know, wanted to change the world in many ways. And now I see that you can do that in a much different, easier, more simplistic way that flows a lot easier. So that was, for me, probably the biggest idea that hit home, is to simplify.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love the word you use, bringing it into your heart and spirit, and that just resonates with me so much. You know, what's that saying where it says that people don't remember what you said, they remember how you made them feel?
Yes.
You're talking about going to the post office and, you know, smiling at the clerk that has had whatever, the disgruntled day. And it's those moments, it's those acts of just being love and being kindness. And I think what happens, Mary, and I know for myself that, you know, I'm at a different place now, I'm working more from my heart, is that when we're at peace, it's easier for us to be peace and spread peace. And simplifying is definitely a way for us to get more connected. And, you know, almost everybody I talk to lately is sort of on the same mission. I why do I need all this stuff? One of my sayings is, you know, I spent my whole lifetime acquiring stuff when I realized what I really wanted was space.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that as my life. I you know, space to create, space to be, space to love, space to, you know, smile with people and connect and have kindness. And I always think of that saying again at the, when people say at the end of their life, you know, it's all that matters is who you loved and who loved you. And it's really, that's pretty as simple as it gets, isn't it?
It is. I mean, that at the end of all of our lives, we're all going the same place, and we're all going to be ashes to some extent, and we're going to be, our energy will continue on, and it'll continue on in the memories and the lives that we touched, you know, behind us. That seems to be another one of those common factors among humans, and the more we talk about that, I think it's important, because some people feel that, you know, well, I have to be this, and I have to do this, and I have to acquire this, I have to, you know, and those are wonderful things, but if we can let people know or understand, it's okay just to be. We are human beings, you know, and so if we just be the best that we can be, that's not only good enough, that's what it is. And so I think we're starting to have a different dialogue now as we move out of the more materialistic, you know, arena that we've been in for, you know, decades. People are starting to go, I don't need this, I don't want this, all these attachments, whatever they are, you know, they take maintenance, they take time, they take energy, and I think people are saying, you know, I need to let go of that, because when you let go of that, then you make space for better things to come in for you, whatever those are.
Yeah, and you know, I'm reminded of my philosophy, which is, you know, we're just here to be our authentic selves, and being is opening that tap and allowing it, and you're right, not attaching to all these things that are really meaningless interfere with our just being able to be. And we all have our beautiful and unique gifts, and all we need to do is let them out, just let them express themselves, let that energy come up, whether it's sharing with words or through books or through art or through, you know, being the best server of food or just being yourself in all of these experiences. And I encourage everyone that is listening to know that just being yourself, this is Marian and I are both doing right now, Marian's being Marian and I'm being Maggie, that's as simple as we need to do, and we can make changes in the world. Because I think we all have this inner calling to what I would call serve, which is just to make a difference, to connect with people, to connect at our core, which is love. And we don't have to be grandiose or do great things or have all these degrees or anything like that. All we have to do is be who we're being. And again, if anybody would like to call in with any questions, the number is 347-237-5339. And if you want to learn more about myself, Maggie, you can go to my website, which is maggieholbick.com. That's M-A-G-G-I-E-H-O-L-B-I-K.com. And we're going to be coming up to a commercial break in a few minutes. Now, Marion, is there anything you want to just share with us? We have a few minutes before the break, and any thoughts that come to mind?
Yeah, I just pick up on a comment you made, which was excellent, and that's that, you know, we don't have to do what the world deems to be grandiose things to make a difference. I think that, you know, we live in a society and a culture that's constantly, the media is constantly telling us, you know, what we need to do or have or wear or dress or look like. And I think that, you know, hopefully we're going through a change where we don't believe those lies anymore. If they're lies for us, they're lies for us. And just, you know, being the absolute best person that we can be and being a better person every day, for me, that's how I look at it. That's absolutely, that's the best that it can be for all of us. And so when people talk, even when people ask me about writing a book and they want to be on this bestseller list and that, and I go, you know, that if that's the way it's going to be, it will be. If that isn't the way it's going to be, it won't. That's not what's important. What's important is for you to do, to be creative, to have your voice, to have your voice heard in whatever way. And sometimes it's singing in the shower. You know, I'm really a big believer in expressing your creativity. And if it's meant to be shared with a larger audience, that's wonderful. But if it's meant to be shared with the birds, that's perfect too. So I think we need to, you know, take off the stress there is to produce and to perform and to, you know, to become something that society says that we're supposed to come, when nobody really knows who we're supposed to become but ourselves. If we really listen to ourselves, we'll hear that. We'll always have that dialogue with of who we are and who our, as you said, our authentic self is, and trying to, you know, peel the layers off of our, you know, human self to expose that. So that's my message. It's okay to be exactly who you are. You came here just the way you were supposed to be.
Right. And, you know, all of the rules and the all of these things that we fall into, dogma and protocols. And one of the little exercises I use with my clients is, and I'll use it with you, Marion, I'm sure you have garbage pickup where you live. What day is your garbage pickup day?
It's on Thursday.
Yeah, mine's Thursday, too.
Oh, but, interesting.
You know, why I ask that question is somebody made that up. Somebody made up that, you know, we'll have these cities and somebody picks up your garbage and yours is Tuesday and mine is Thursday and you put yours out and it has to be before such and such a time. It's all made up. Mm-hmm. Somebody decided that we'd start educating our children at 4 or 5 and we'd sit them in these classes. It's all made up. And when you can really get that, you realize that that's not who you are. And it's much easier to be when you realize that's just, you know, like you were saying, we don't have to buy into these things of the way we were supposed to be, or, you know, all of the stuff that's propaganda to us. You know, one of the things before the break I wanted to share is kind of along our theme, Marion, was, you know, just talking about the simple things and the kindness and the acts of kindness and connecting with people and expressing ourselves. There was an article in our local paper today called "A New Attitude Needed to Help Addicts." And there was a researcher in town who was sharing a talk on helping, you know, to make them, people realize that addiction is a health issue. It's not a police issue. It's a health issue. And I love this. Just at the end of the article, it said, one of the stories shared during the afternoon was from an individual who said it wasn't until they encountered compassion and kindness that they were able to start truly dealing with their addiction. And I think that is very, very important for because to me it sums up everything we're talking about, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Because I think that the lack of compassion and kindness, I come out of that world of addiction, the lack of compassion and kindness was actually one of the formative factors in the addictive process. So when you go back to the source of the issue and what was the causation, it's really not that complicated to find out what the solution is. It's to replace what was missing, or the hole that was missing. So I totally agree with that.
Wow. All right, well, we're coming up to a commercial break, so again, you're welcome to call in. We'll be getting to questions toward the end of the show for any callers, and it's 347-237-5339. It's my pleasure to have Marion Witte on the program today, and we will be returning back with some more delving into her book, The No Regrets Bucket List, but for now, enjoy our commercial break.
Hello, everyone. B. Delosier here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with B. Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research, paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. First Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs, but if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.ggmradio.com. Wishing everyone warmest blessings, always, in love, light, and sound. Music provided by...
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo! Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We're open for business! The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens,
We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, a comprehensive guide of rocks, crystals, and stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
You're listening to Maggie Holbert in Crystal Clear Coaching on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, back to Maggie.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Maggie here, and I'm really enjoying the show today with Marianne Witte, and I hope you are too. I think, you know, Marianne's sharing some wonderful, wonderful gifts for all of us. And Marianne, I'm so honored to have you on the show. Are you back with me?
I'm back, Maggie, and I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. You know, Marianne, we were talking before the break about your new book, The No Regrets Bucket List, and we kind of are going with the flow, and I think we came up with a common theme for today of being our authentic selves, in expressing who we are, living, being, and being okay with that. And we talked a little bit about the simple things. Now, your first book, you know, we mentioned an article in the paper about with addiction, using compassion and kindness. And I think forgiveness comes in there. And I just wanted to get your take on forgiveness and healing. And you know, when I think of the word forgiving, it's giving, and even for ourselves. But I wanted to know how you, because you've obviously been through this. It's something I'm sure you've had to come to terms with, and perhaps it's a major component of where you've come from. So I just wanted to see if you could share any thoughts on that.
Oh, I'd love to. It's one of my favorite topics, actually.
Oh, wonderful.
As I, was working through my book and going through that process, I discovered that one of the missing elements in my healing journey was forgiveness. I spent years going through therapy of different forms, and I've pretty much done everything that there was to do, traditional and very non-traditional. And all of it was very helpful, whether it was, you know, talk therapy or aggression therapy or hypnosis or shamanism. I mean, psychic readings. It all aided in my healing because it helped me to discover more about who I was and what had happened and what I needed to do. I found out as I was writing the book that the element that was missing for me was forgiveness. It was that was the one tool that really I feel set me free. That was the process that I went through, that where I could let go of a lot of hurt and resentment. People have a misnomer about forgiveness in that they think that it means you forget what happened, or that you let's say that you are tolerant of it, or that you ignore the repercussions. And so then people go, I could never forgive this person. I can't do this. I can't do this. And what I offer to people is the idea that when you're forgiving, the true forgiveness is forgiving yourself. You're forgiving yourself for holding on to whatever pain and hurt and suffering that you have incurred or held on to for whatever reason. So part of the forgiveness process is just forgiving yourself. Obviously, it entails forgiving the other person for whatever hurt you believe that they inflicted on you, whatever, you know, the events were. That's definitely part of the process, but a major part of it is just forgiving yourself, and for being human, and for all the things that go along with hurt. Because I'm a believer too that in any situation where there's some negative aspects, some negative events, there's always two players. It takes two people to play that drama out. And so I am not a believer in the victim mentality. I think that that's something that we create and hold on to. We encounter experiences in life, and it's how we choose to interpret them. And I, as I look back now, choose to interpret them as truly life-growing experiences. I wouldn't be the person I am today if I didn't go through some of these very, what appears to be very, at least on the human level, very negative, caustic experiences. And so But I had to let go of the human emotions, of the hurt, the pain, and the suffering. And when I did that, I can only speak for me, but I know this is true as I hear from other people. It's absolutely a freeing experience, and it's a freeing an environment. Does not mean your mind doesn't forget things. You can forgive someone for, you know, whatever drama was played out where there was anger and hurt at whatever level. The mind doesn't forget that, and that's okay. It's kind of a self-protective mechanism because then you don't go back to where you were necessarily hurt. But there's something incredibly, amazingly healing about entering into a state of forgiveness, and I talk to people about this a lot. And for me, it's a constant process for me because layers come up, things come up, memories come up, and so I'm constantly going through this process of forgiving. It's kind of an odd thing, but when I engage in that and when I get to that point, it's kind of like a big, thank you. And then I can look at the experience and go, thank you for that experience because I learned from it, I grew from it. And what forgiveness does, it engenders in you and creates in you a level of compassion and understanding that you could not have without that. When you can forgive someone else for what you perceive their hurt to be towards you and forgive yourself for holding on to that hurt, you can be much more compassionate towards someone else that has the same type or similar experience. I'm a big, big believer in forgiveness.
Wow, great point about the compassion and understanding. You know, Marin, I love how you use the word life-growing experience. 2 weeks ago, I had Cindy Crow on the call, and she was talking about when she had her breakdown and ended up in the hospital, and we kind of switched it to a breakthrough, breakdown to breakthrough. And, you know, even saying that word, breakthrough rather than breakdown, is just a total different frequency. But I love the life-growing experience. That's a beautiful way to put some of these experiences we have that we don't totally understand at the time, or we see them as negative while we're experiencing it, but really they're life-growing experiences. And, you know, going on with the letting go of hurt, pain, and suffering, one of the terms I like to use, and this might help someone listening today, is anything, whether, like you were talking about letting go of that hurt, the pain, the suffering, ask yourself, you know, go within, does this serve me? Does it serve me to keep these feelings being reactivated? Does it serve me to go down to this memory lane? Does it serve me? And when I use the word serve, meaning for my highest good. So obviously letting go of those things you've deemed no longer served you and you moved on, and then you mentioned the lightness and the freeness. And I think that the simple technique that people can use is just question this. Does this serve me? You know, we're having obviously a great show today, and if I asked, does this show serve me? Yes, yes, that's what I would shout out from within. And I'm sure if I asked, do I think it's helping people that are listening? Yes, yes, I know the answer. So some of the things that, you know, people can do if they're working through some of these experiences is to really question that, if it's serving you, and or if it's time, does it serve you to harbor non-forgiveness for someone? Maybe it's time to forgive so that you can have the, it's no longer serving you. So that's pretty cool. But I love that life-growing experience.
Yeah, I think that sometimes, and I only can speak from my personal experiences, so everything I say is, you know, usually about me, but I think that there's some common, you know, ground here with other people. But for me, I know that, you know, I told my story so long and so often and to so many people, and they were so tired of it, that at some point in time it was like, you know, this is not serving me. You get something out of it by doing that. But then it's, at some point in time you have, I guess, one of those moments where it's, you know, you're not really getting anything out of it other than you're telling your story over and over. The reality of it is to reframe and recast that story, because all of our life is just a series of stories, and so we get to write our life. And so it's taking those stories and recasting them into a different look at them, and viewing them not necessarily as negatives, but as blessings in our life. And it's a process. It's a tool. It takes time to do that. So what I always say is, what I like to say I'm doing is just putting that thought out there. Consider forgiving someone. Consider taking on this tool. Just consider that. And, you know, maybe it's not the right time for you right now, but I like to at least plant the seed that, you know, it can, if it's not serving you. I love the way you put that. I use that word a lot too. If it's not working for you anymore, as our favorite Dr. Phil says down in the United States here, how's that working for you? Uh-huh. If it's not working for you anymore, then perhaps it's time to recast it and reframe it. So I think all that you're talking about and I'm talking about is raising our awareness. And, you know, we kind of expand our horizons. We look at things a little different. We plant seeds. And then, you know, people can go, and maybe they don't do it today or after the show. Maybe they do it in a month or a year. But it is changing. It's changing our consciousness. And I think that's what we're all here about.
Yes. And, you know, I like how you say, it's funny, we were talking about books and writing and stories and all of those similar things. But recasting your story, you know, I like to say stories, we write a story, and we can... So we can make up a story and we can take away from a story. So recast, take away the parts, relook at things, and you can actually remove parts of your story. You don't have to keep telling that story. So I like how you put recast. I have a question for you, Marian, but just before I do that, I want to give a shout-out to my producer today, Amanda Dowell, because I don't do that, and she's always there behind the scenes helping me along. She's faithfully here every Wednesday. She's an absolute sweetheart, and she offers many, many gifts, and some of them are, she does animal readings, regular readings with people, you know, intuitive readings, angel oracle cards, works with essential oils, she does healing work, and with both people and animals, and she's just an awesome, awesome lady, and I highly recommend her. So if you want to inquire from Amanda about her services, I know she does run specials quite often, and I believe she has one on now. But her email is starwaya@hotmail.com. So it's starwaya@hotmail.com. And I just want to give her a little kiss and thank you for all your help, Amanda. You're just a sweetheart. So, Marian, you know, I'm getting from what I've pieced together doing my research about the show that, you know, you have a passion for helping parents and teens and kids and that whole family dynamic. And what kind of activities do you have going on around that?
Yeah, I'm as I've gone through my process and looked at you know, what happened in my life and the factors, I am absolutely committed to the idea that all of our issues, everything that happens, all of the negative stories happen in childhood. I think that we came here as these perfect, blessed little souls. We are just a perfect, clean little slate, and then life happens. So I'm a believer that we can change the destiny of this planet and the course of humanity, and if we will just pay more attention to how we raise our children. And so to that end, 6 years ago, I founded the Angel Heart Foundation. And what we are devoted to and committed to is two-pronged right now. One is to assisting parents to become better parents, to become more conscious parents. And the other is to empower our youth, because it is the youth that will change the world. When you think about it, somebody mentioned this the other day, do you realize that the 10 and 11 and 12-year-olds in 10 to 15 years will be running a great portion of our world? That's kind of it's an exciting thought, but it's also a scary thought, depending on what kind of a job we've done, you know, parenting. So I'm a big believer that we need to look at parenting as the most critical and important job that there is on this planet. It's how we raise our children, what values we instill, the level of freedom and boundaries, and there's always that balance between there. How, whatever we do there, that's that is how this world will unfold and how it will create into, you know, I think, a better place. So that's the purpose of the Angel Heart Foundation, is to give parents ideas about becoming more conscious, and also to give tools to young people so that they can create the kind of world that they deserve, actually, that they came here and that they deserve.
Wow. Now, Marian, I have, I don't know if you know, but I have a 7-year-old. It was a late life gift for me, and that itself is an amazing story. But I also have a Facebook page, and I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's, and for our listeners, it's facebook.com/moms4kids. And this page is all about having healthy, happy children and all along the line that you're just talking about, Marian. So I'm really resonating with your Angel Heart Foundation. Can I ask you to please commit to being my guest again on the show, and we cover Just for Parents a whole hour? Would you like to do that?
I would love to. That is just one of the things I feel deeply committed to. I would love to.
Me too. I got tingles all over. We're going to do it. Awesome. All right. So, Marian, is there any way that they can find out more about the Angel Heart Foundation? Is there any information online, or is that something that's more of a physical, tangible group you have, or what?
No, we have the corporate site for Angel Heart Foundation is angelheartfoundation.org, A-N-G-E-L, foundation. .org. And then we have two sister websites that the foundation supports. And one is nextgenerationparenting.org. That's nextgenerationparenting.org. And the other is Brave New Leaders, bravenewleaders.org. You can get to all three of the websites. You can get to the other two through there. They're all linked. But yes, that's what the foundation does primarily, is to provide, it's a portal. So we provide information to assist parents and to assist young people. So we would love to have people take a visit and share the information that we're putting out.
Well, I will definitely be posting that on my Moms for Kids page for all my followers. And I'm so glad to hear that. All right, Mary, we're coming in. We have a few minutes left. What can we discuss now? Where does your heart go?
I think one of the things throughout this, my life, my journey, my process, and it ties into, well, two things. One is we are here just perfect the way we are, with all of our human flaws and everything, all of our foibles, all of our, you know, experiences. We're living our life just exactly the way that, well, we're not living it the way necessarily we were intended to. We're trying to find out whatever that is. But we don't need anything else other. We came here with all the tools and gifts, and it's just finding those, reaching out for help, and knowing that there's help available. I mean, there's so many things like what you're doing with your show, and there are so many techniques and tools to assist people to kind of open up and flower and blossom and just become that authentic, as you said, that authentic person. And the other thing that I'd like to leave listeners with is, because of raising my daughter and now looking back, she's 30, so I look back at some of the things I did, and perhaps if I could have done them differently, would have. The one thing, and I'm doing a much better job today, is just to let her be exactly who she was supposed to be, knowing that she, just like me, she came here with everything that she needed, and my job was to guide her and to just be a support system, but not to mold her into what I thought she should be. And I look back, it's a lesson that I learned, and so I relay that to other people now. Having our children it's truly a big responsibility, and also the biggest gift we could ever get, I think. And so, but we need to honor that these are just blessed little souls that we came here to just guide along, hold their hand, let them have their positive experiences and their negative experiences and learn from it, and let them become who they were meant to be. And that, my friend, is what will change the world, is if we let people just be who they were meant to be.
And don't squash their spirits. And one of the things I share, too, in working with people is don't make your children your sun, moon, stars, and your that's not fair. Let them be who they are, and you are who you are. And some people, you know, they do the old, my world revolves around you, my life is worthless without you. And that's a pretty heavy responsibility to put on a child. So sometimes people go the opposite way. Have you seen that?
Definitely, where, you know, your identity becomes enmeshed almost, you know,
yes,
with your children. And that I don't believe that's healthy for either person. And I don't think it allows either person to really, you know, explore their own identity. So parenting is it's a balance between guiding and supporting, but not just holding on so tightly that you don't allow people to be. I've seen where people abdicate that responsibility and go, well, do whatever you want from day one. But children do need guidance and support and love. And then I've seen other parents that, you know, we call them, I don't know what you call them in Canada, we call them helicopter parents here in the United States, where, you know, they're still, you know, doing their laundry when they're, you know, 35 years old at home. So, you know, we have the full gamut. Somehow we need to, it's about bringing balance to that process and to that job. I think it's about balance.
Yeah. You know, when you were talking earlier, I was thinking of a little Savannah, my daughter, Savannah Rose. I was thinking of a little saying we have, and so we said, well, she says, Mom, you're the best mom, and then because we have this agreement, and she said, and all moms are the best moms. Every mom is the best mom, because every mom is just who they are, doing the best they can, and she really gets that concept, and I love that.
Yes. Sounds, you know, like a wise little soul.
She's very, very wise. She's just amazing. I might do a show just on Savannah, because she's such a wonderful gift and teacher for me. You know, Mary, and I have to share this before we wrap up. I'm looking at my Facebook, and this picture pops up, and you know what it says? The listeners will love this too. Forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing you were the prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not timely or what?
Yeah. I think I have that in the book too, and there's another one that I love. It's something about staying in a state of unforgiveness is like drinking poison yourself and hoping someone else dies.
Yes, I remember that one.
Isn't it funny how I don't know if these things, we just become aware of them when we talk about them, or if they come into our life, you know, to remind us at the same time. I don't tend to think there's a lot of things that are coincidences. I think they tend to happen exactly the way they're supposed to. So
they're all perfect, just like we are when we're born, and the children. And oh yes. So I'm really looking forward to having you on. You and I will discuss the parenting show, and we'll let everyone know. And I'm sure they're going to love it. And I'm also going to send you a link to the page. And I'd love for you to contribute in any way that you'd like at any time. I think the more of us in this type of consciousness that can share and come together, the better.
Great.
Okay. So, Marian, is there anything you'd like to say for our last minute here?
I want your listeners and all people just to know that, you know, we're all on this journey together, and when it looks like your life is, you know, a mess or out of control, and someone else's looks like it's just perfectly and divinely guided, know that you don't know what's in someone else's heart and soul, and so we all have our challenges. We are here to, you know, accomplish, and I think we're here to heal. And so I think when we can understand that we are really much more alike than we're different, we can become more kind and compassionate. And when we do that, as you said, that's the way to true kindness and compassion in the world, is becoming kind and compassionate yourself. You become a beacon, and you become a bright life. And there's no better gift we can leave here, right? To be thought of as a kind, compassionate, loving person.
That's right. Wonderful. All right, Mary, well, it's been my pleasure. I just want to let everyone know that next week, speaking about children, we have a very special show, Rich Food, Poor Food. You might have heard of the book by Jason and Mira Colton. They're very well-renowned in the nutrition field, and they're going to be talking about the book's about the GPS to grocery shopping. It's an awesome book. I absolutely love it. It's like my little go-to book. for healthy food choices. But we're going to have an emphasis next week on for parents and children, and we're going to touch on that during the show because I've asked them. I believe that's really important, and so we can support our children well, health-wise, food-wise, nutrition-wise, so that they can have that support they need to live fulfilled and peaceful and joyous, loving lives. So please join me next week for that. Thanks again, Marian. Everybody have an amazing week. Just be yourself. Live in love. Live fearlessly. There's nothing to fear except fear itself. We just be love and have an amazing week, and we'll see or talk to everyone next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Maggie. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye, Marian.